today as we come to the table.
The Bible says every one of us were born to be wild. That is, born in sin, and we have a sin nature that just makes us sin without anyone asking us to or wanting us to. And we know that because any length of time in living, we figure that out. It doesn't take very long to know that. That is why Jesus told Nicodemus, we have to be born again. It's not enough to be born to be wild, to be born in the sin nature. We have to be born a second time. And Jesus today is going to drive this point home with Nicodemus when we see him tell Nicodemus why he's born condemned, or why he has to be born rather a second time, because the Bible's going to tell us, and Jesus tells Nicodemus, it's because we're all born condemned.
Today, Pastor Mark will be explaining to you how everyone born has a sin nature because of the original sin of Adam and Eve. Everyone has a natural inclination to sin and rebel against God. It's only until you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior do you receive a born-again nature that desires to live for the Lord. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. As a Christian, you're filled with the Holy Spirit who's working within you to help mold you more and more into the image of Jesus. Unfortunately, you still have a sin nature, but now you also have the Holy Spirit empowering you to say no to sin and to live for God. You're being transformed from glory to glory. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If we don't know we have a problem, we don't look for help. And a lot of people don't realize they have a problem today. I know when I grew up in church, unsaved, as a pastor's kid, I did not know that I needed to be saved. I didn't know that was a necessity. I thought that I was okay, that everyone was gonna go to heaven anyway, and some did better than others, and if you did better, you got more reward. I didn't realize you couldn't get in if you weren't born again. I didn't realize you couldn't get in unless you were forgiven of your sins and you were no longer condemned. So this actually, although it may sound like a heavy title message, it's good news, because we first have to understand the bad news before we can look for the good news and rejoice in it. And this is where we have to be those messengers to let people know, not again going around condemning, as we're going to see, we're not to condemn. The Lord himself didn't condemn. But again, it shows us the reality that if we are going to be in heaven and be saved, we're going to have to run to the Lord for that salvation. And again, that may be some of you this morning needing that. Now, again, some of you that are a little bit older, you're going to recognize this song from the 60s, but probably you're going to know the song anyway because we hear it on the radio today. But there was a song back in the 60s by Steppenwolf called Born to be Wild. And right now you're singing it. Born to be, stop it, you're in church. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know how that is. Why is it those songs get in your mind and you can't get rid of them, right? You can't remember the verse you need that somebody you're sharing with, but Born to be Wild starts coming out. I don't know. Anyway, it's amazing how our brain works. I hate it. But either way, a lot of people, when that song came out, they categorized themselves as, yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm born to be wild, you know. I've got my leather jacket, my tattoo. Of course, back then, that was a little bit strange. Today, that's fairly normal. But either way, whatever the rough group might be today, there are people that think they belong in that category of born to be wild, and we're that group, and so we need to be there. Guys, the bottom line is the scripture says every single one of us, since the fall, and since we all have a sin-tainted nature, every single person in this room was born to be wild. It's not a category of some group that decides to break the law or to be, you know, the outlaw crowd. The Bible says every one of us were born to be wild. That is, born in sin, and we have a sin nature that just makes us sin without anyone asking us to or wanting us to. And we know that because any length of time in living, we figure that out. It doesn't take very long to know that. That is why Jesus told Nicodemus, we have to be born again. It's not enough to be born to be wild, to be born in the sin nature. We have to be born a second time. And Jesus today is going to drive this point home with Nicodemus when we see him tell Nicodemus why he's born condemned, or why he has to be born rather a second time, because the Bible's going to tell us, and Jesus tells Nicodemus, it's because we're all born condemned. That's the bottom line. If we weren't born condemned, if we were born okay the first time, we wouldn't need to be born again. But we're not. We're born condemned. And while I understand this teaching flies right in the face of what our modern culture teaches today, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus said. Look, here's what our culture teaches today, and you know this. Everyone is born basically good. We're basically good at our core. That's what our culture teaches. Here's what Jesus taught, and this is why he was so radical back then and still so radical today. Jesus teaches that we are all basically bad to the core, or maybe I shouldn't say bad to the bone. You'll start singing that, right? Thanks a lot, you know, Pastor. I'm just, you know, doing thorough good the whole service or whatever. But the bottom line is that's what the Bible says. You know, those guys sing those songs and they think, yeah, that's what I am. We're all that. We're all that. We just have to realize it. And when we realize it, then we realize we need a Savior because we are living in a state of condemnation. And again, the Lord's going to address that. Now, again, understanding this, if we understand that we are born condemned, that we're born to be wild, that we're born with this sin nature, if we understand that in our very core, that not only helps us to understand God's grace toward us in forgiving us, but guys, this gives us a whole new perspective of the world around us. And I need this perspective, and so do you. And what do I mean by that? When I see a world around me that's living in sin, that shouldn't shock me. I shouldn't be pointing my finger and yelling at them saying, you're so wicked, look what you're doing. I should be going, yeah, that's what I would expect. Yeah, they did that. Can you believe? Yeah, I can believe they did that. Well, then this happened. Yeah. Because they're born that way. Just like I was. Just like you were. And it wasn't until we were born a second time in the spirit that was gone. Now, here's the clincher. We still have the old nature in us. When you're born the second time, you've still got the old nature. And listen, you're just like me. You know what it's like. It's still there very much alive, isn't it? That old nature is still wanting to do its thing. We have to squelch it. We have to deny it. We have to let it starve and feed the Spirit so we walk according to the things of the Spirit, or we're going to be just like we were before we came to the Lord. But if the world is made up of people who are born sinners like us, rather than judging them, we can understand them, have mercy on them, and give them hope in Jesus. Again, not approaching them with a pointing finger and a loud voice, but instead with an understanding heart and a message of forgiveness through the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that mankind's not going to be held accountable. We're all going to be held accountable individually and as nations and all that. The Bible says we'll all stand before God one day. And God's going to judge individuals and even nations. How that's going to work, I don't know. But the bottom line is he's going to do it. And so this means that God is going to judge, even as the Bible says he will. But it just means that although he's going to do that, when we address sin, we have grace and understanding as to why people are doing it. If all we can see is you wicked sinner, you know, then there's an attitude that comes with that, and that's what they're going to feel and hear, and we're not going to be able to rescue anyone. We have to understand we're in the same situation except by the grace of God, and God rescued us from that, and now we want to lead you to the Lord so you can be rescued as well. There's no way that you can free yourself from this. You can't do it. God's got to rescue you. And I think part of the problem is people don't recognize they need to be rescued, but for those who do know they need to be rescued, it's a lot easier to deal with them. Let me give you an illustration. Imagine Butch Jones. He recognizes a player that has a broken leg. He doesn't expect that player to get up from that play and run back to the huddle. He's not saying, hey, get out there. Come on. What are you, a wimp? What's wrong with you? You're gonna look. The guy's leg is broken in two. He can see the parts of it. I shouldn't get too graphic. But I need to for this illustration. But the bottom line is that he's got a broken leg. He can't do this. He can't, no matter how much he's commanded to do it. No matter how mad the coach is and how red the coach's face is, he can't. Same with us, no matter how upset we get or how we yell or what we're upset about or doing, if the world's legs are spiritually broken, they can't run. As a matter of fact, they can't even walk. We need to be those who throw their arm over our shoulder and say, let me help you and show you how. And let me take you to the doctor, Dr. Jesus, because he's the only one that can heal you of your situation. And that's what we're to do. We're to lead them to Dr. Jesus. And so this is where he's going to be ministering to Nicodemus and to us today as well. Now, it's interesting to further illustrate this. A couple days ago, I saw a video from an animal protection group. And what they would do is they showed the video of rescuing doomed animals. And they'd find these animals that had fallen in holes and in pits. And they had these, even cattle. I mean, down in these, how they got in there, I don't know. But they're rescuing these huge animals and little animals and this whole thing, for everything from a kitten to giant oxen, right? And there's this one that stuck out to me, though, and I thought, what a beautiful picture of what God has done for us. There was this dog that was stuck down in this mud pit, and he couldn't move. He couldn't get his legs out. He couldn't do anything. And when they found him, they looked down at him, and he just looked up, already weak from being down there who knows how long, and he saw them. And the moment they began to climb down in there, his little tail began to wag. And then they got him, and they yanked him out of the mud. There's no way he could have gotten out of it. They lifted him up out of the hole. They set him up at the top. And as soon as he got to the top, he stood by the guy and began to wag his tail. And you get his tail. He realized, I've been rescued. He had hope now. It wasn't this desperation of I'm going to just die here or whatever. That is exactly what we are, guys, in this world for people that are stuck in the pit of sin. They're stuck in that pit. They can't get out on their own. Some of them don't even know they're in it. They think they chose to be in there. Man, I'm born to be while I'm in this mud. Yeah, you're in it, but you were born that way, but you're going to die eternally if you stay there. And so our job is to go and try to pull them out so they can have life. And just like that sweet little puppy, sometimes we go to people and we grab them and they're happy to come out. What, really? No, you don't know what I've done. I've got too much mud on me. You don't know my past. You don't know how my life has been. It doesn't matter. Jesus paid for every bit of it on the cross. I don't care how bad it is, he paid for it. If you will simply believe and look up, we'll get you out of this pit. And some of them do that. They wag their tail, so to speak. They will take imagery, I'm sorry, I shouldn't give you. But either way, they come out of there and they give their life to the Lord. But what about those who don't want it? What about the animal that you come upon that's trapped and doesn't know it's dying and all it's doing is snarling and barking at you? I don't want to hear this stuff. Get away from me. That. You know, this kind of thing, right? Look, when Jesus was asked to leave, he left. He went over to the Gergesenes. He released two demoniac men. There were men that were held with demons or whatever, released them. And when he released them, the demons ran into the pigs. And remember, the pigs, that was their business. That was their income over there on that side. Their business ran into the water and drowned. And so the city came out and said, please leave. We don't want you here. You're bad for business. Forget the Merry Christmas stuff. Forget the whatever. You know, if you want to modernize it, you can. But we don't want you here because you're bad for what we're doing. Get out of here. The Lord didn't say, no, I'm staying here. I demand. You will have Merry Christmas on your walls, and I'm going to take it to court and whatever. And I'm not against that. Don't get me wrong. I'm making a point. He didn't force himself on them. He left. And so there's going to be those that say, I don't want you. But here's what he did. Before he left, he showed them a miracle, and he left them someone who could show them a way out. He had found a way out. That demoniac had been healed. He knew it was Jesus that did it. And now he left them that witness. It's the same thing as if we get to the dog, and the dog's down there going, ah, foaming at the mouth, and dude, you can't get near it. It's going to rip you apart, right? Hey, you can at least put a plank down in there and have it at an angle where the dog can get out so that when you leave and that dog calms down, if it wants to climb out of there, it's got a way to do it. And guys, that is what Jesus is. He is that plank that delivers from the pit of sin where people can be removed and rescued. Sometimes they come out and they're thankful. Sometimes they fight us. Look, just put the plank there. Just lay the cross at the top. Let it reach down to the bottom and say, if you climb up this someday, you'll be saved. I'll leave you alone. And you let God deal with them. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to rescue people and have an attitude. And how good would it be if we stood at the top of the, if they stood there at the top of the, ditch there and yelled at the dog? You stupid dog, how dumb are you? Why in the world did you get down in there? Could you not see you were going to get stuck? Did you not recognize there's no way to get out once you do this? That's not going to help that creature any. No, they have to meet them where they are and understand you're in there because that's your nature to do that. Dogs seek out the mud. They seek out the dirt to rub in. Why is it when you wash them, they go out and start getting right on the ground, rub the little back everywhere, whatever. And that's how we are by nature. We seek out sin. We look for it. We try to find it by nature. So when we come upon somebody who's stuck in sin because they've been seeking it out by nature, guys, if we sit there and look down at them and yell how stupid they are and how dumb and they get what they deserve, that's not helping them any. We need to say, you know what? Grab my hand. Grab my hand. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because he pulled me out of the pit, he'll pull you out too. And every single one of us in this room, listen, we know what it's like. We've been there. This is Jesus with Nicodemus today. The only logical thing we can do is try to tell them the truth and give them a path of escape. And now Jesus is going to tell Nicodemus the truth, and he's going to give him a path to the rescue. Now, what is the setting here? Remember what happened? We really come in mid-story. Nicodemus had come to Jesus by night. Probably didn't want anybody to recognize that this religious leader was coming to this rabbi that the leaders hated and rejected as somebody that was from God. But Nicodemus recognized, this guy's the real deal. There's something about him. So Nicodemus goes to him to find out what's going on. He meets Jesus, remember, probably up on that rooftop. He begins talking to Nicodemus, and he tells this religious leader, you've got to be born again. You're born to be wild. You're born in a pit of sin. It's just by nature. And if you're not born again, you're going to be stuck there. And so that's where we take up here in 17, because he's let him know that whoever believes can be saved. But now he begins to give an explanation. And notice what he says here in verse 17. Going on with this conversation with Nicodemus, he says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." Note that. "But that the world through him might be saved." Guys, notice first that Jesus says here that God did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And so why do some of you feel condemned this morning? Even Christians, some of you this morning feel condemned. The Bible says there's therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8. If you're a believer in the Lord, your condemnation that you feel this morning is just wrong. Ignore your feelings. But if you're feeling condemned this morning and you're an unbeliever, the reason you feel condemned is because you are guilty and you are condemned, but not because God is condemning you. Jesus is not here this morning pointing his finger at you saying, "You're going to hell, you're condemned." He's here to say, "I've come to rescue you." Imagine being somewhere in the battlefield or somewhere where you're trapped and the embassy's under siege and you've run to the embassy and the helicopters start dropping down. You're pretty excited. And the helicopter drops down while they're breaking down the gates and they're screaming, "Cut their heads off, kill them, infidels," or whatever. And the helicopter lands, you're not going to go, "You know, I'm not sure about this helicopter thing, and I don't know, I'm glad this guy's just doing good for you and keep that going and all, but I'm not so sure." You're going to be jumping on the helicopter like climbing over people, small women and children. I mean, you're like, "Get me out of here." What? That's what Jesus is offering you this morning. He's lowering down the heavenly helicopter. He's not here to say, "You're surrounded by the enemy, then just die." He's here to say, "I've come to get you. Get on. Let's go." That's his heart. And so if you're feeling condemned, it's because you're recognizing you're condemned. It's not because he's condemning you. And it's not because the pastor's condemning you. And it's not because anyone in here is condemning you. It is God bringing that recognition to you. And God is now bringing that recognition to Nicodemus. You know, a lot of people blame God and say, "Well, how could God condemn people?" What Jesus is saying here, God doesn't condemn anyone. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. We condemn ourselves when we reject the helicopter from heaven. When we say, "I don't want that, I'm fine," we're bringing condemnation on ourselves. God didn't do that. We're just choosing to stay in our condemnation rather than taking the way of escape. And this is something Nicodemus had to understand. Again, it's no different than the player with the broken leg. You know, he needs a doctor. He can't run on his own. The doctor has to be the one to heal him, and that doctor is Jesus. And so, again, as we said, it doesn't mean that God's not going to judge mankind one day. He's going to do that, but that's going to be at the second coming. You know, the first coming, it says the Lord came to save, and he came as a lamb to die for us. And the Bible says the second time, after he gives everyone an opportunity, and he will, no matter where they are, by God's power, by nature, by whatever the Bible says in Romans, everyone will have a chance, whether they know the name of Jesus or not. They'll have some recognition of God and what they need to do. And when that is rejected, at the second coming, he says, and he's going to be driving more people to himself during the great tribulation. Because again, some people see that as, wow, God's judgment, and it is God's wrath on the earth, but it's a great act of love. And why is it a great act of love? Because those that are still here after the rapture, that are going through the great tribulation, many of them, the only way they would ever look to God is if their life was completely under siege. And so God loves them enough to say, "You know what? I will allow your life to be under siege because I want you to get on the helicopter. And when you see how bad it's really going to be, maybe you'll join." But for those who don't, at the end of the great tribulation, and when he comes back in the second coming, the Bible says he's going to let out a shout like a warrior. He's going to roar from heaven like a lion. What's that going to sound like? You know, I'm kind of glad we're already going to be up there with him, because that would be pretty scary. We won't be scared because we'll see our God roar, you know. But it says he's going to let out a gasp and a roar like, finally, I can go straighten this mess out. I've waited. I've given every opportunity for mankind. And now we're going to go make righteousness rule and reign on the earth. Is that going to be a great day or what? And the Lord's going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom and rule righteously and finally find the justice and righteousness that he died for and that he's been waiting for. But the first time it was to welcome us into the kingdom. The second time, guys, it's going to be for those who have rejected, it's going to be judgment. And because they've chosen to stay in that condemnation, they'll be there. But that is not God's heart. He desires that none perish, the Bible says. He's given us the rescue helicopter and the way out. But the bottom line is we have to take it. We have to do it. He's the one that has to bring us out. And again, we're not to condemn the world, even as Jesus didn't condemn the world. Again, here's the point I want to make for us, and I've already said it, but I want to drive it home. We're not to condemn the world either. It doesn't do any good if we see someone in sin and begin condemning. We have to give them the hope. This is why Paul, again, speaking of how we're to deal with those inside the church and those outside of the church, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, he said, "For what do I have to do with judging those on the outside?" In other words, I'm not going to judge and condemn those in the world. They're already judged. They're already condemned. They were born that way. He says, "Do you not judge those who are inside?" He said, if you're going to deal with issues within the church, then yes, you need to do that. There needs to be church discipline and order, and a believer needs to be addressed if there's some sin going on. But it's the believer that we're to address. Listen, if we're to confront anybody, guys, it's the believer. The world, we simply give them hope. We simply tell them Jesus died for them, and we let them know, yes, what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is sin. I'm not saying we don't reveal that, but then rather than condemning them or judging them, we say, but you have hope in Jesus Christ. He says, those who are outside, God judges. And why does God judge them? Well, because they're already condemned. And we, like Jesus, are simply to share the hope that they can be rescued. So he tells Nicodemus this. You know, I didn't come to condemn. Get that out of your mind. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, hence the title, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice, for those who believe in Jesus, they're not condemned because they believe, but it's only because they believe, not because they're good. He didn't say because you did good things and because you were nice. He's saying, no, it's because you believed and took your way of escape. You climbed out of on the cross from that pit. You took that heavenly helicopter. However you want to view it, you responded to God when he came after you. And so because of that, you're saved. He says, but notice those who don't believe, he says, they're condemned already. And again, because they've been born in condemnation, it wouldn't do any good for the Lord to walk around telling everyone they're condemned. All that would do is confirm something that he already knows to be true. He came to say, I can rescue you. But again, this is Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is the one here condemned. And he's convicted in his spirit. We know that Nicodemus later gives his life to the Lord, which is exciting. But Jesus is now laying out that pathway to hope. He's showing him there's a way out. And notice what he says in verse 19. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now notice this. Jesus breaks up man's condemnation into two explanations, how and why. Now, we know we're condemned because we're born condemned. That's a foundation that's in place. But he adds to that another reason men are condemned, although born in that condemnation, or one of the reasons they remain in condemnation is because, here's the how, because they reject the light. Jesus said, I know you're in darkness, but I've come to show you light and give you a way out. Receive it. If they reject it, they remain in that state of condemnation. And then what is the why? Well, the why is because when men saw the light, they decided they loved darkness rather than the light. Guys, get this. That is, they loved their darkness more than Jesus and the light he brings. And not only that, they loved the darkness, get this, more than they loved themselves.
You've just been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're currently going through the Gospel Book of John. If you're new to the faith, John is a great place to start. You learn of such fundamental truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for each and every person. Jesus was even willing to meet with a Pharisee late at night to further explain who he was and what his purpose in coming was. Jesus talked with Nicodemus about being born again. All of this was referring to a spiritual rebirth that he was offering to this man and everyone else who would ever live. What an invitation. John 3:16 was spoken during this meetup, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you accepted this invitation from Jesus? We hope that this message has brought some clarity to what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions about the things you've heard today, would you give us a call? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know about any questions you might have by going to our website and finding the questions or comments link. Our website is thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come visit us at Calvary, Knoxville. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom to find a link to Calvary, Knoxville. That's all we have for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.